Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, howdy, greetings, welcome, salutations, and alohas to you as we get underway. Hour number one with yours truly, the attack dog of the right, the bombastic loud mouth of the south. And even before we get started today, as Moneypenny just pointed out, we hadn't even gotten on the air yet. And we already have a leader in the clubhouse, as they say in golf, a contender. It's like Marlon Brando. You should have looked out for me. I could have been a contender. We have a contender for text of the day, which reads, and I quote, "Dude, did you catch Coakley when the caller mistakenly called him Bob?
Ooh.
He made the same noise that a vampire makes when you splash the holy water on it." Kind of like Granny's cat when its tail gets rocked on by Granny's rocker. Then there was a long pause. It was great. Oh, mercy.
What?
Yeah. What is right? Here we go, getting underway with hour number one here on Thursday. And as always, your input is invited, encouraged, and welcomed. Oh, I almost neglected to mention, before we go any further into the program, before we go any further into the highly rated program, let me thank you for great results in the latest ratings as compiled by Nielsen and Company. Can't delve too much into it because it is proprietary information, but suffice it to say, numbers were great, and that's thanks to you, and we appreciate that more than we can say. Because I don't want to, Moneypenny is making the sign language there for patting myself on the back. I don't want to seem as if I'm dislocating my shoulder, patting myself on the back. Because it's not us that make the ratings. It's you folks, and we greatly appreciate it. All right, here's how you join me and be a part of the conversation today. The Ingalls Advantage talk line number, 800-347-1063. If you prefer to send me a text, that's cool. The text line number, 71307. My email address, bob@1063wort.com. And for those of you who may have missed it, the keyword for this hour in the $1,000 bankroll contest, powered by our friends at Carolina Campers. Carolina Coaches. Yeah. What did I say? Campers? Yeah. No. Carolina Coaches. Thank you, Moneypenny. Parent. Even at my age, probably wouldn't hurt me to still have one. Parent, P-A-R-E-N-T, all right? You could be the next winner, joining Rachel Fredrickson from Easley, who won $1,000 on Tuesday, was it? Yeah, Tuesday, in the $1,000 bankroll contest. Bob, I had the pleasure of meeting Miss Moneypenny today while checking out at Ingalls. She's a treasure. I'm a loyal listener and love your show. Moneypenny was telling me, well, you had a steady stream of Are You Moneypenny Inquisitors today.
As a lot of listeners know, I work a different job in the mornings before here just because I'm hyper and I can't sit still.
She's moonlighting.
So, well, would it be moonlighting if it's in the morning?
Yes, it still is. Yeah.
Well, I work a cashier at Ingalls on Cherrydale, just to let you know where I'm at. And I've had three different people come in today and be like, are you Moneypenny? Like, yes, I'm Moneypenny.
As a matter of fact, yeah.
They're like, oh, I thought that was your voice.
Well, you have a distinctive voice.
That's what they told me.
Yeah, right. And easily recognizable.
Yes.
It's a funny thing about voices. You know, even when I was in television, where you're more commonly recognized by your face, It seemed to me I was more often recognized by my voice.
I always thought you looked taller on TV.
I did. My head alone was, you know, like 24 inches high. You do a great show, Bobby Mack. Thank you, and the crew. Thank you, Texter. Bob, just what did you have for dinner? Actually, I haven't had dinner. Well, if by dinner you mean the midday meal, as in dinner and supper, what did I have for lunch today? I'm trying to remember. Hey, I'm old. Come on.
It was all chocolate and caffeine. Wait for the show today.
No, actually, I went to Sticky Fingers and had a barbecue. It's good. Pile up the coleslaw on it, on the barbecue. Love that stuff. Bobby, can I have a sip of whatever you're having for today's program? No slack. See, I can't get any slack whatsoever.
Respect.
That's true. That's true. No respect. I don't get. Well, so I get home last night to Stately McLean Manor, and my baby doll Brenda says, Hey, did you see this story? Peter Strzok grew up in Iran, worked as Obama and Brennan's envoy to the Iranian regime. And now she discovered this while surfing, at the same time listening to the program. And so, you know, this happened concurrent with my being on the air, so I didn't know anything about it. Now, the curious thing about this whole story is, and this was at Big League Politics, which was a website that I hadn't been familiar with, and I thought I was familiar with most of them. But this information about Peter Strzok, the haughty Peter, we used to use that word only with John Kerry, but now it applies to Strzok as well, along with condescending and arrogant and a few others that I can't share in a family program. But somebody inside the intel community has been talking, essentially blew the whistle on Strzok and his background. A former co-worker of Peter Strzok tells Big League Politics about Strzok's extensive background in the intelligence community, including the fact that he grew up in Iran. Now, I had had my suspicions that Strzok was the kind of guy who had Langley written all over him. Many intelligence officers like Strzok are complete ghosts with questionable history and gaps in their life story. But now we have some insight. Peter Strzok was born in the late 1960s. He attended the American School in Iran up until 1978 when it closed down. Now, you remember, of course, why it closed down, because the Shah left and Ayatollah Khomeini came back from Paris, and Iran, as we knew it, was gone, and the new Iran was a theocratic state. Strzok then attended the American School in Saudi Arabia. He supposedly attended a Catholic school, St. John's Prep in Minneapolis. That school refused to confirm or deny his attendance, and then completed a bachelor's at Georgetown and some form of graduate degree after that. The truth is that after Peter Strzok III, you mean this has happened twice before? The truth is that after Peter Strzok III turned 18, his life is arcane, which is the usual story of many like him. Did you know that Peter Strzok II, Strzok's father, and Hillary Clinton have a lot in common? No, I wasn't aware of that, but I'm shocked and stunned to learn it. Yeah. It turns out, after advocating for Khomeini in Iran and then working in Saudi Arabia to calm the waters of an Iranian government, appeasing them with anti-Semitic rhetoric, Strzok's father, Strzok II, also dabbled in charity work. Strzok's father was involved in so-called charity work in Haiti. Wait a minute. In Haiti? Who was it that did big charitable work in? Oh, yeah. That would have been Slick Willie and Felonious Von Pantsuit on behalf of the Clinton Crime Family Foundation. Was involved in so-called charity work in Haiti, but also helped dismantle and reassemble Upper Volta, now known as Burkina Faso. This whole deep state business just keeps getting murkier and murkier. And one of the things that occurs to me about this whole business is, why is this former co-worker of Strux, somebody who was in the intelligence community, why are they now talking about Strux and his background? Is it because Strux has been is the latest Andrew McCabe? You remember him from the FBI, who was selected by the deep state to be the designated victim and get fired from the FBI's. Is Strux, after his performance on the Hill last week, is he now the designated victim? Next selected to walk the plank? This whole business, curiouser and curiouser, said the cat. 16 after 3 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Be right back. McClain. Welcome back. Great to have you along. 321 here on the Bobby Mac Show. So continuing with this background piece, we learn more about condescending Peter Strux, Mr. Smug, Mr. Smirk, when he testified last week on the Hill. Despite deep state efforts to scrub information, the internet is forever. Following is a very controversial happening in the early 80s. Peter Strux II, Strux's father, also known as Peter Strux Sr., was an employee of Catholic Relief Services and was interviewed by the New York Times in 1985 over his testimony or statements regarding mishandling money intended for Ethiopia. In the article, he identifies himself as a former employee of the charity and says he is a retired U.S. Army Corps of Engineers who served the agency in Africa and Haiti. So Peter Strux II worked in Haiti with a charity. Sounds eerily familiar. Can we all guess which charities partnered to help Haiti? Look into CRS Financials. They seem to overlap and feed into Clinton Global Initiatives balance sheets. In the early 80s, Upper Volta was in turmoil. It said that mineral disputes within neighboring countries brought about great duress, and so in 1985, the country of Upper Volta ceased to exist and was then renamed Burkina Faso during Strux II's term there. Specifically, in 1981, he was advised of a government visit to Upper Volta, which places him there for a period of 4 years, as his son, Strux III, was at the American school in Saudi Arabia. This happened after their sudden move from Tehran when Khomeini attained power over the Shah. Shah had abdicated. Looks like whenever there's a regime change in modern history, a Strux is lying in the shadows waiting. Now, see, this all smells like Langley. We know Peter Strux III, the man who sent those vile text messages about our president, the man who was biased and wanted to ensure a Clinton presidency, was raised in Iran and Saudi Arabia. Our source reveals how Strux and his father both talked about Iran favorably and both accidentally reminisced about the rosewater smell of the Juje kebab by Shamarin Hill. Something that disappeared after 1987, and only those who are old enough to remember can discuss. Peter Strux Persian, by the way, the native language of Iran, Peter Strux Persian is impeccable. Our insider tells us that Peter Strux III is the key Middle Eastern intel operative for the Iranian airline Mahan Air's purchase of U.S. government planes during the Obama administration from 2011 to 2013 when sanctions on Iran were in place. He handled the Iranian relations from start to finish, just as his father did for Reagan and just like he's been doing for years under cloak and dagger, says the insider. Peter Strux Sr. and, of course, John Brennan were involved with Iran. In fact, our source tells us that Strux Sr. was involved in the Iran-Contra scheme that led to a six-month prison term for Reagan National Security Advisor John Poindexter. Back in the 80s, the government was just as corrupt as it is today, and for some reason, we keep giving weapons, planes, and pallets of money to Iran. Even Barack Hussein Obama sent money to Iran on a plane in his last year in office, $1.4 billion worth. Just a few weeks ago, Iran demanded Germany send them 300,000 euros in cash, and of course, Angela Merkel complied. What's the deal with Iran? Why are they so important? What were Strzok, Brennan, and Obama really doing? That's a very good question that maybe President Trump can get answered for all of us if a summit with Iran can happen early this fall. One thing that is constant in modern history over the last five decades with anything involving Iran, there is a Peter Strzok involved. The BLP insider who's worked with both Brennan and Strzok tells us that Strzok was never FBI. He was part of the highest level of covert operatives sliding into posts within CIA or FBI to infiltrate, influence, and observe. This is exactly what we saw with the special counsel appointment that resulted after the failed operation. Peter Strzok Jr. placed in the FBI to ensure a win for Hillary and buffer negative press, like the Anthony Weiner laptop case, which he covered up. That's the real deal. Revealing Peter Strzok's identity would have been a problem because it's called unmasking. But since he is now in the limelight and out of the shadows, it's time to lay all the cards face up on the table for all to see who Peter Strzok really is. Spooks, that is intel ops, spooks feared him, but like our source, they still maintain secrecy, simply connecting the dots of publicly and privately available information. This is all very curious, and as I mentioned, what also is curious about this whole business is the fact that someone has now come forward out of the murky shadows to serve as a source to make public previously unknown information about Strzok's background. So why the revelation now? To embarrass Strzok? He seems beyond embarrassment. He's going to get fired by the FBI, but apparently, so what? You know, his real role as a spook for the deep state operating in the murky waters there of the deep swamp, that job goes on. So it leads you to wonder if Strzok is now at this point being cut loose by his deep state control. If and I know, you know, this all sounds like, you know, something from some third-rate spy novel or TV show, it's on late at night. But look, given what we've learned so far, can we just out of hand dismiss any of this as a conspiracy theory? I mean, these are all factual things that have happened. We'll see. In on the text line, 71307. Bob, any news about the incident in Scotland with Trump's Secret Service member dying and the hang glider in the no-fly zone? I know that there was somebody with a hang glider there, but Secret Service agent dying in the process? I didn't hear about that. We'll have to... had a stroke. Yeah. No, nothing new beyond what's already been reported. And Wes is likely to be reported in the future, quite frankly. Bob, it makes me have even more questions, like who is Ms. Page? Yeah, because if she's Strzok's paramour, doesn't it stand to reason she's probably a deep stater as well? And finally, this just in on the text line as well. Mr. McLean, I truly regret missing yesterday's segment with Mr. Schwartz. I was in a very important special projects meeting involving my wife's concrete company, but that's nothing you would be interested in, trust me. Sincerely, Hugh L., Florence, South Carolina. No, the usual curiosity, Hugh, but nothing untoward. 3:29 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Annie is ready to go in the news center. I'm right back on the other side here on WORD. All right. Welcome back. 3:37 here on the Bobby Mac Show, 23 before 4 o'clock. Let me see if I can catch up with the text line here. By the way, if you missed it earlier, parent, P-A-R-E-N-T, is the operative keyword or code word for this hour in the $1,000 bankroll contest. Bob, I have a story to tell you about a just-concluded discussion I had at my Bank of America branch with an assistant manager who refused to refund a $3 NCF caused by a quirk in their $35 non-sufficient funds charged caused by a quirk in their processing system. I need some time to compose myself sufficiently first to be able to accurately recite the facts involved. I just experienced the worst customer service by a major bank, Bank America. I say again, in my very long lifetime, from my Colonel Ted. Thank you, Colonel Ted. And as always, Moneypenny and I salute you. Bob, the piece you just read about Peter Strzok, did you write that or was it written by someone else? No, that was a piece that was on the web that my baby doll Brenda brought to my attention. Moneypenny is even now locating it and will repost it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1063WORD. Bob, if he was such a great operative, why were those phones not scrubbed and who in Trump's camp brought him into the light? I don't know that it was anybody in Trump's camp. The individual was only identified as a former co-worker in the intelligence community. Bob, the FBI and the Democrats are going to go a whole bag of Trump removal plan on Strzok. Yeah, but, you know, he still is going to be what he is, deep state operative. Bobby, so Strzok's old man is also a dirtbag. Apparently the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. A lot of people are not aware of it, but there is a great deal at Langley of what I call legacies. That is to say, the old man is in the company, and so the son or daughter as a legacy is brought in as well because they've been raised around the atmosphere of the family business. That is not talking about anything. There is a lot of that. About that Secret Service agent, Moneypenny found the piece on this. President Trump on Wednesday mourned the loss of a U.S. Secret Service agent who suffered a stroke on Monday during the president's recent trip overseas. Special Agent Noel Edward Remagen, 42, died Tuesday in Scotland, surrounded by his immediate family and Secret Service colleagues. A 19-year veteran of the service, Remagen's body was returned to the U.S. yesterday. Our prayers are with Special Agent Remagen's loved ones, including his wife and two young children. The president said in a statement yesterday, we grieve with them and with his Secret Service colleagues who have lost a friend and a brother. Melania and I are deeply grateful for his lifetime of devotion, and today we pause to honor his life and 24 years of service to our nation. He also served 5 years in the Marine Corps, URA. First Lady taking to Twitter to express her deepest condolences to the agent's family, noting that the Secret Service work tirelessly and often behind the scenes to keep our family safe. Our deepest condolences to his family. Remagen, according to the statement from the White House, spent 5 years in the Marine Corps before joining the Secret Service, where he worked as part of the Presidential Protection Division. The service said Remagen exemplified the core values of the Secret Service: justice, duty, courage, honesty, and loyalty. The Trumps attended a ceremony for Remagen yesterday at Joint Base Andrews in Maryland. When the agent's body arrived, Vice President Pence, who called Remagen a courageous American, and his wife Karen also paid their respects. By the way, a GoFundMe account created for Remagen's family raised more than $107,000 as of last night. Okay. It's good to know. Also in on the text line, Bobby, by the sound of the news, the aptly named Senator Flake is at it again. I thought he was going to retire. Well, he is, but he's serving out the last year of the sentence imposed by the citizens of Arizona. Why won't he just go away? Or at least, please go away quietly. Bob, regarding Strzok, it isn't the apple that doesn't fall far from the tree, but the maggot doesn't fall from the corpse. Ugh. There's some mental imagery for you. Bob, as big of a jerk as Junior is, the person that exposed him had probably crossed paths with him somewhere in the past. And you know what they say about that dish best served cold? I do. It's on the menu as revenge. Bobby, Miss Moneypenny needs a raise. What, just for putting up with me for 4 hours a day? You probably got a point. Colonel Ted, join BB&T or SC Telco. Both have great service. Moneypenny corroborates that. Uh-oh. Did we have this one? Annie had this one. Major accident, White Horse Road and Blue Ridge. White Horse Road and Blue Ridge, 5 minutes ago. Thank you, Texter, one of our Wazers out there. And I believe that does catch me up. There was a story, it was in the business news that Chris had about the, where is it, Philly or somewhere. I think it was Philly, about to impose a soda tax, a tax on cola because, you know, it contains sugar. And that's bad for you. And it's the state's job to make sure that, you know the whole story. Well, how about this? You want one that beats that? Don't they have a soda tax in California now too? I'm not sure if they finally overturned it or not. They had it for a while. Yeah, we'll have to check and see. In any event, from the Fox TV station in New York City, never short on ideas for things to tax, lawmakers in New Jersey are considering a tax on tap water. God. What's next? Air? Hey, honey, we got a bill from the state here. It seems that we inhaled and exhaled too much last month. We got a surcharge on here for using too much oxygen. The proposal is being floated by State Senator Bob Smith, Democrat Middlesex, what else, who is trying to say it's not actually a tax but a user fee. That old saw. As if a user fee is not a tax. It's a user fee based on volume, Senator Smith said. It would add 10 cents for every 1,000 gallons of water a home uses. Forget about watering the lawn or washing the car. Smith says it will only add $32 a year to the average water bill. Yeah, right. It starts out being 10 cents for every 1,000 gallons of water, and see where it goes from there. He claims the money is needed to fix a crumbling water delivery infrastructure in the state. What are all the other taxes they've been paying in Jersey going for? Oh, that's right. I forgot to protect the homeless. The state already charges a public utility franchise tax on water system operators of 1/10 of a penny per 1,000 gallons of water delivered to a customer. So we've got precedent for this. Let's call it for what it is, said Councilman Peter Brown, Democrat of Linden. It's another tax. Matt Rooney, who runs the conservative news website SaveJersey.com, said once again, the most overtaxed people out of all 50 states in the country are being asked to dig a little deeper after Phil Murphy just raised their taxes by nearly $2 billion. One New Jersey columnist suggested the next proposed tax, yep, will be on breathing air. Great minds think alike. 3:46, 14 before 4 here on the Bobby Mac Show. While I take a brief pause to inhale and exhale before they can tax it. Coming along a bit later here in the Thursday afternoon edition of the Bobby Mac Show, 5 random facts. I didn't realize how far behind I'd gotten on my 5 randoms. Because I've got a stack that's like a month's worth, so we'll work that in before we're done today, along with Boneheads in the News, and we got some classics in there for you today as well. In on the text line, 71307, Colonel Ted, you don't like Bank America, try a TD Bank. I love my TD Bank in Tryon. Bob, what about sugar-free and diet soda? How can they tax those if they don't have sugar? And I use sugar in the generic sense, because I know they haven't used sugar in actual soft drinks for some time. Bobby, if they tax tap water and people stop drinking it, They'll just raise the rates. That's what they always do. Bob, I'm almost sure nearly every soda on the market is sweetened with corn syrup, not sugar. And you're right. That's correct. Bob, you ought to listen to the Clyde Lewis podcast from last night if you want to hear a fantastical conspiracy theory on the death of that Secret Service agent in Scotland. I mean, fantastic. What a nut. Bob, wouldn't a soda tax involve body shaming? Can't have that. Bob, correct me if I'm wrong. I thought that's why we were paying utility bills. Got a point. Bob, very few soft drinks contain sugar. HFCS. Yeah, that's right. Corn syrup. Bob, Illinois has figured out a way to punish taxpayers who move out of state with some sort of tax. Doesn't that violate the Commerce Clause of the Constitution? Well, if you move from Illinois to, say, Texas, I would tell the state of Illinois, hey, bill me, pal. Yeah, New Jersey, great work. Go ahead and elect you some more Democrats up there. How's that working out? Yesterday on the program, I got a text message or two about the Brown Tree Snake Eradication Project. One of the things that was revealed as Watchdog exposes nearly $15 billion worth of pork barrel spending, including that particular project. I hadn't seen the story before I got on air yesterday, but I have it now. The federal government is spending millions to save Pacific Coast salmon. I don't know. I love me some salmon. And it's doling out more than $600,000 to kill brown tree snakes in Guam. It's probably Congressman Hank Johnson who objected to the brown tree snakes in Guam because he was afraid they were going to tip the island over. Wouldn't surprise me. The watchdog group, Citizens Against Government Waste, yesterday released their annual congressional pig book of what they consider the most egregious examples of pork barrel spending in Congress. According to the group, earmarks in 2018 totaled nearly $15 billion, $14.7 billion to be precise, an increase of 116.2% from the year before. Faye, the pot-bellied pig, has arrived, and she needs some coffee. that was on Twitter. $65 million for the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery. According to its website, the fund was established by Congress in 2000 to reverse the declines of Pacific salmon and steelhead, supporting conservation efforts in California, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and Alaska. Well, maybe the bears are just eating more of them. You ever think of that? They love salmon, too. $11 million for an aquatic plant control program that since 1994 that has had 24 earmarks worth $58.1 million for aquatic plant control projects. Here's the one that was texted to me yesterday. $663,000 for the brown tree snake eradication program. The snakes are native to northern Australia, Indonesia, and many islands in Melanesia and have caused damage to the ecosystem of Guam, where they were likely introduced by the U.S. military following World War II. $10 million for high energy cost grants within the Rural Utility Service, $2.8 million for the National Capital Arts and Cultural Affairs Grant Program, which funds art and cultural institutions in Washington, D.C. Yeah, I've seen a few of those art projects in Washington. Disgusting. A number of Republican lawmakers attended Wednesday's press conference, including the aforementioned Jeff Flake, Ted Cruz, and Joni Ernst of Arizona, Texas, and Iowa, to be considered for a listing in the group's annual book. An earmark must meet at least one criteria, including whether it was requested by only one chamber of commerce, if it was not specifically authorized, if it was not competitively awarded, if it was not requested by the president, if it greatly exceeds the president's budget request or the previous year's funding. And I would say many of these qualified, since they were 116% over the year before. If it was not the subject of congressional hearings, or if it serves only a local or special interest. There you go. I know you're proud to hear it. Your tax dollars at work. Stand by. Hour number two of the Bobby Mack Show is on the way, along with the next keyword in the $1,000 bankroll.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.